Good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for coming to the Wednesday night Parsha Shiur. This evening, we will be connecting Parshas Kedoshim with the concept of not receiving gifts in Halacha. What does it say in Parshas Kedoshim? Lo tignovu, lo techachshu, lo teshaku ish v'amito. So what are you not allowed? Lo tignovu? Not allowed to steal. Okay, so don't steal. Now, can anyone maybe connect the dots? Maybe I'm going to email you right now. Anyone want to connect the dots on not stealing with not receiving gifts? Very different, no? I received gifts before. I don't think I've stolen. At least not intentionally before. But anyway, just in case anyone got too serious. I know some everyone just walked in. Everyone doing okay? Alvin doing okay? We had a great Pesach. We had a great Baltimore, whatever. Boca, that's what I said. Whatever. Anyway, great to see you. Great to see you. Welcome back. Anyway, I haven't seen you in a long time. That's right. All right. So ultimately, we're going to learn that there's a, first of all, we'll do a little vort from Ibn Ezra. When the Torah says lo tignovu in the lashon rabim in the plural, it's not just talking about the person stealing. It's talking to the entire community. Why? Ki aroe umachrish. Gamhu ganav. It's an amazing thing. Says the Ibn Ezra that if you see someone steal and you yourself, you don't give him musr, you don't act, stand up for justice, you're just as guilty as him. Wow. So it's really not only an individual mitzvah that you know you should not steal, but it's also a standard for a community. And that's going to be a central theme this evening, that we have to focus not only on our own personal avodas Hashem, but when we learn the sugya of receiving gifts, what we're going to say, sona mataras yichya, it's also about the norms of the community and the community standards. But that's the Ibn Ezra in this week's parsha, that it's not only usher to steal, you also are not allowed to let people steal in your surrounding environment. You have an obligation to stand up for justice. Wow. Okay. Be that as it may, the Rambam counts stealing as one of the 613 mitzvos, right? All right, and we know this. If you do steal, you have to pay back either the amount that you stole or double or sometimes even more, based on what you stole. And last week, the Minhag Klal Yisrael was to begin Pirkei Avos, and that means this Shabbos, not only will it be Parshas Kedoshim, but we will be learning the second parak of Pirkei Avos. And the second mission, the second parak of Pirkei Avos, teaches us, Rabbi Gamliel ben Osher B'Yehuda, and I say, Omer, Yafet Talmud Torah Derech Eretz. When you learn Torah, that's great, but the best combo is to have a job, make an earnest, honest living in companion, in conjunction with your Torah learning, she'egia shneim mishkachas avon, by learning Torah with a means of parnasa, that together will prevent sin. What's the idea? What's that recipe for success? So, what happens if you don't have a job and you just learn? So says Rabbeinu Yonah's commentary on Pirkei Avos over there. Well, if you don't have a job, you're going to be poor. And what's going to happen if you're poor? You're gonna want to receive gifts. The lo yichya, and you won't live. Meaning, he's paraphrasing. He's referring to the pasuk in Mishlei that we'll quote soon. And when you need gifts, what are you gonna do? The yachnif bnei adam. You're gonna flatter people in order to convince them to give you gifts, even if they're wicked. So it's gonna lead to a very downward spiral. Gam ki yita makesa yita. The money's gonna deplete after you receive your gift, so what are you going to do when that runs out? Then you're going to resort to stealing, or you're going to gamble, and you will bring gazlu to ani leveso. Oh my gosh. Leval yamus berav. So basically, your main priority will end up being get food, don't starve, don't die. So that's what people do when they need to resort to extreme measures to make a parnassa. It's very sad. But what we're learning all of a sudden is that when the parsha teaches us not to steal, that doesn't only mean don't steal. The Ibn Ezra man explained it to mean don't tolerate theft in your midst. And now, Rabbeinu Yonah is explaining the mission of Pirkei Avos is that you need to protect yourself so that you yourself are not tempted to steal. You have to set yourself up for a parnassa. If you don't have a steady income, it's dangerous spiritually. Wow. So this all of a sudden is teaching us, it's getting us in the direction that making a living, trying to work for an honest buck, is spiritually significant. It's a mitzvah to be able to get a paycheck and say, okay, I can do this. Why? Because if you don't have that, it can lead to bad things. So let's try to learn a little bit this evening about the sugya of not wanting to be a taker, a moocher,
freeloader,
right? Good, that's a good one. Whatever other terms you might have grown up with. Because that is the sugya that we're going to learn with. As a precursor, I want to just point out that I don't view anyone at the table here as violating this particular midah. I think, again, I said this past Shabbos in Shal Shudas, Fairlawn, New Jersey in general is known for like a hard working class type tone, you know. So again, no one should feel like I'm talking to them. But let's learn. There's a pasuk in Mishlei, Ocher Beso Botzei Abatza. Again, another derogatory phrase against theft. And how does that pasuk end? Vesone Matana Yichye. And if you hate a gift, you will live. So it says Rashi, another connection to our parsha. Me'achash Yesone Matanos. Well, once you hate gifts, Kol Shekein, all the more so Shesone as a gazel. You're going to hate the concept of stealing. If you have trained yourself to not want to receive anything extra that you haven't really earned, i.e. a gift, so what, you're going to go steal? No, if you wouldn't take a free handout, obviously you're not going to go steal. Wow. That's a beautiful pshat of Rashi and Mishlei and his commentary to Mishlei. And the Metzudas David has a slightly different angle here, where he says that what's going to happen if you love gifts? You're going to forget about Hashem. And by hating the concept of receiving a gift, what are you essentially accomplishing? You're teaching yourself, I don't need gifts. Why? Ki yishoein b'Hashem. Hashem can give me more than man can give me. And what you're training yourself to think is by rejecting the offer, by declining politely the offer of a gift, I'm teaching myself I don't need gifts from man because I have everything I already need from Hashem above. Wow. It's an amazing idea. And that's the Metzudas David's commentary on Mishlei. Beautiful. So that's our introduction to this year, this evening, that we have a concept on a Tanakh level of don't steal, and a halachic level of don't steal, and a Tanakh level of don't receive gifts. At this point, what we want to do is really learn the opinions of Chazal, the Rishonim, and the Shulchan Aruch, the Mefarshi Shulchan Aruch, the modern day Poskim, about this topic. And would you actually argue that it's forbidden to accept a gift? And as we speak, it is Rosh Chodesh Iyar, my birthday. It's Tet Iyar. I was born on May 14th, on Mother's Day, should be noted. So I was born as a gift, a Mother's Day gift. Ever since then, I have not needed to give my mother a gift. Right, so now, by the way, for all those husbands in the crowd, right, you better get your mother, your wife, etc. Mother's Day card this Sunday, right? Meaning, we're very machmer on giving gifts, right? But we do have to be machmer on receiving a gift because, you know, maybe I'm hoping for a birthday gift. And this chabura ourselves, we gave me a YU Svarim sale, very generous gift card. Did I use it? Or did I throw it in the garbage? I used it. You know, but that was before I prepared this year. So, you know, maybe I made the wrong decision. So would anyone argue it's like literally halachically forbidden to accept a gift?
Well, you might be bribing somebody with it.
Okay, so AB says there are gifts and there's gifts, meaning when I conveniently tip my boss.
There's greasing.
By the way, I've seen that before. One of the most intense conversations I've ever had was with a non-Jewish security guard in TABC. Wild. I had a nice relationship with this man. I don't know, 5-6 years ago, he said, I want to let you know, Yoni, I'm quitting. And I just want to let you know, he said, you know, we're very close. I was so bothered by the fact that another security guard bribed our, you know, superior, you know, our boss, because he wanted specifically better shifts at TABC, and he said, I couldn't take it, I'm out. And, wow, fascinating, right? Wow, just an interesting story. It was an interesting dialogue. There's more there. Wait, hold on. So AB is saying it depends on the nature and the motive, I guess, of the gift. Okay, yeah, Adam, what did you want to say?
You just explained that you're depending on living on a gift as opposed to, you know, I just want to give a gift to show someone that I appreciate.
Very good. That's a very, very important perspective, right? We're going to learn that also, that not every gift receiving is the same, right? We'll talk about that for sure. Yeah, Lowell, what do you think?
I mean, technically, what AB described is in a gift.
because a gift is something you give out of disinterested generosity.
Very good. Very good.
There's gifts and there's gifts.
Right, so we'll have to try to figure out some recipe over here. Okay, anyone else? All right. So let's try to learn a little bit of Gemara. And the Gemara is going to really open us up. And we'll learn that there's more than one approach. So number one, on like a midrashic level, the Gemara Sotah says, Misharabu Mikable Matanos, once society had changed, that people started accepting gifts more, Nisma'atu Hayamim, the days got shorter, V'niskatsu Hashanim, and the years got shorter. So that seems a little esoteric. At the same time, it's certainly making a point that it is not a good thing for society now to accept gifts. Now, what I like about this Gemara is not as much as what it actually means, but what I like is that it's speaking to societal norms. It's not speaking to individuals. It's saying it wasn't good for the world at large for society to be one where people were accustomed to receiving gifts. That's my big takeaway from that Gemara. Obviously, there's a lot there. What does it mean? The days and the years got shorter. Not for now. Now, Gemara Sotah, number one. Number two, Barachos Yudam Ibez. There are two ways, as a buyer, Rabbi Yitzchak, you can either receive gifts, because we have a paradigm like Elisha in Tanakh. The Shunamis made a room for him, and he would stay there. He would receive gifts, Elisha. Okay, Elisha and Avi, pretty good. Or you could go like Shmuel and Avi, who never apparently accepted a gift. Wow. Fascinating. So they're both valid options. That's how I would have learned this Gemara. I would have learned this Gemara in Maseches Brachos to say, either A or either B. Elisha's valid and Shmuel and Avi is valid. Well, you know, what could be bad? Okay. But the Marsha is really going to get us halachic over here. Because he says, how could the Gemara say this? He reads Rashi that the Gemara says that either you could choose to benefit from other people like Elisha or not. But ask the Marsha. You look all over Shas. It says that you're not allowed to accept gifts. Sona matanos yichya. Now, what's fascinating to me is the Marsha is asking a halachic shayla. The Marsha is saying, how could the Gemara be so one-sided? Or how could the Gemara be so open-minded? There should only be one side. Don't accept gifts. And the Gemara, the Marsha explains, the Gemara actually, it's only talking about a very specific scenario when Elisha was a guest. So he really needed the Hachnasas Orchim. I mean, you needed a handout. It wasn't a free handout. You weren't mooching. You were in need. So what, you're going to deprive someone from the opportunity to be machnas oreach? That's not receiving gifts. That's just called being a good guest. Now, I'm learning this Marsha, and I'm thinking, whoa, the Marsha is taking this pretty seriously. He has to come up with a fancy pshat of the Gemara to justify receiving gifts. Maybe the Gemara meant that Elisha received his Hanukkah gift, and his Purim gift, and his Thanksgiving gift. But the Marsha is really minimizing the Gemara. And he's saying that when the Gemara permitted Elisha to teach us that it's okay to receive gifts, it's because you really need it. What do you need? You need a bathroom, you need running water, you need a towel. You know the people who host you for Shabbos, they don't give you a towel. You know what I'm saying, Alvin? I told you my horror story, NCSY. Whatever, I can't tell you that. One time I stayed at this, it was before I was married. Did NCSY. I was supposed to stay at this house, NCSY Shabbaton. Now, the kids were told to bring their own linen. I was not told to bring my own linen. I get to this room, and they point to a floor, and they say, this is where you're sleeping tonight. I'm looking at the carpet, and I'm like quoting them Gemara and the Marsha. Like, even if you hate gifts, you're supposed to supply a guest with like basic. I slept on the floor that night, by the way. I slept on the floor that night. Let's move on quickly. All right. Just, I've been holding that in for like 20 years.
Did you bring them a gift from Shabbos?
You know what? They owe me a lot. They owe me a lot. You know, whatever. I should pay my. Whatever. You know, they're wonderful people. Wonderful people. They just, whatever. I don't know why they. Let's move on. All right. So that's a Gemara in Brachos. There's another Gemara in. Oh, this is a Me'iri. Let's learn this Me'iri. The Me'iri is basically pointing out that we would, the way we would have learned the Gemara. Either you could decide to accept a gift like Elisha, or you could be like Shmuel. But the Marsha, the Me'iri rather, cautions us. He says, what's going to happen if you don't receive gifts? You're going to come off as a hermit. You're going to come off as someone who isolates himself from society. And when you don't receive gifts, you have to do it in a way that doesn't come off as obnoxious. You have to explain to people why you don't want to receive a gift. Well, I'm a judge, and the judges are not allowed to receive gifts because I might view it as a bribe in court, something like that. Right? It's very sensitive when people are in a society and you want to be different than that. Ooh, fascinating. So well, I love that Me'iri, because why is that, what's that Me'iri teaching me? We live in a world, again, it's a societal mitzvah. So if you take it upon yourself, I'm not going to receive gifts. Can you think of a scenario where that's going to come off as ironically mean? Right? Meaning, man, imagine if you wanted to give me why you Svarim sale gift certificate and I declined it, right? Would that be nice or mean? That would be me being ungrateful, right? No? Right? Or imagine the shul, you know, they give me a gift. And I say, no thanks, right? That's not right. Or TABC parents give me a Hanukkah gelt thing, whatever, box of chocolates, right? If I say no thank you, does that come off as polite or disgusting, right? Yeah, but I don't think it would go well. I was like, right? I think it would go well, right? So another example. All right, so let's get really halachic now, because we're going to learn two gemaras now that are going to be really in Shulchan Aruch. Here's the gemara Kedushin and Tesem and Alf. Rav Gidol was mahapech vayara. He wanted to buy a certain house. He was looking for land to buy. And Rabbi Abba chapped it before him. Ooh, he got it first. Rav Gidol was all upset. And he went to Rabbi Zeira. And Rabbi Zeira went to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka. And they said, okay, we're gonna make a big fuss about this when he's Ola L'Regel or whatever, that we'll approach him. And it happened. They approached Rav Gidol and they said, if a poor person is rummaging through a pile, ani mahapech vayara, so let's say a poor person is trying to get food and you quickly grab it before the ani is able to access it. So what's the halacha? He says, well, that's obviously a rasha, such a person. So they said, oh, you're the rasha. He said, well, Rabbi Abba wanted to buy land and you quickly chopped it before he got it. You did what you said was a rasha, was an act of rishus. He said, oh my gosh, I had no idea. How was I supposed to know? I wanted to buy that land. I didn't know that Rabbi Abba wanted it first. I had no idea. So here's what he said. He said that, well, they offered, they said, sell it to him now. He said, no, that's not right. He said, apparently it's a bad simon. And what about giving him to a gift? And so Rabbi Abba didn't want to accept it as a gift. So no, I don't accept gifts. I don't accept gifts. So if Gidl didn't want to sell it, it's not a good omen or whatever. And he offered it as a gift. And he's like, no way. By the way, it was Rabbi Abba was the bad guy. I misquoted. Rabbi Abba was the bad guy, and Rav Gidol was the innocent one. So Rabbi Abba said, okay, I had no idea Rav Gidol wanted it. And Rav Gidol said, well, I'm not accepting it as a gift. No way. So Rabbi Abba left the house because he said, I feel badly what I did to Rabbi Abba. And Rabbi Abba didn't take the house because he said, Sona Matana Chisya. And the end was Hefker. No one took it. It was like the yeshiva students said, okay, free house, you know, and that's how the Gemara ends. Right, umisyaka ara derabanan. Like, okay, it was hefker or whatever. Fascinating. But there you see a halachic application whereby Rav Gidol wanted a house, didn't get it, and the only way he could have gotten it in the end was to receive it as a gift, and he said no. Boom. He said no. He said, I don't want the house as a gift. So that's really, I would say, like halachic source example number one. Similarly, Baba Basi Gemara Beis, there were two individuals splitting a property, and he said, listen, we really both need 4 amos, and the property's not big enough. So, all right, let's say it's only 7 amos. So I'll take 3, and you take 4. So, tol atashur of ari pacho shomen. So the Tanakam is okay, that's fine. So if Reuven gives in, Shimon's allowed to accept the deal. Reuven says, I only need 3 amos. I'll live in a smaller quarter, and you can take the full 4 amos, half. So good, take it. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no way. And the Gemara says, well, what's the machlokas? Well, Sona Matana Zichya. So what does that imply? That there's a machlokas Tanoim. The Tanakama said, okay, take the gift. If Reuven's willing to forego the bigger living quarters, Shimon, take the gift and run. And the other opinion, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said, whoa, no, absolutely not. Even if you get a nice offer, if it's a gift, you can't just take it. So on the books we have in Shas, these concepts of Sona Matana Zichya playing into daily life. So that's Shas. The Rambam is going to have quite a bit to say about the sugya. We'll just quote a few of his sources, and I'm going to just make a little bit of a qualification. We're not going to speak so much this evening about the concept of learning in kolel and getting paid to learn Torah. That's obviously very related to this year, but we're not going to focus on that as much. But this comes up in Hilchos Talmud Torah, both in Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam. So in the Hilchos Talmud Torah, the Rambam writes, G'dolei Chachmei Yisrael, Hayim Chotvei Eitzim. So even the greatest rabbis had jobs. They would chop wood. They would draw water. Well, they do all sorts of things. Aye. So it's true that they learned a lot of Torah, and that's what they did. But they had jobs. So the Rambam makes it very clear that it's not mutually exclusive. Meaning you could be a big-time chacham and also have a job. And that plays into this narrative that we're not looking to mooch. We're not looking to mooch. And the Rambam also has a very similar lashon elsewhere in Hilchos Talmud Torah, where he really says it's the greatest form of Kiddush Hashem. Maila gedolehi. It's an amazing, we'll say, madrega. L'mishu misparnes mima'ase yadav. You should have a living. You should have a living, says the Rambam. Umidas chasidim arishonim. That's it. What's the pasuk say? Yigia kapecha, right? When you shvitz, when you work hard, that's good. Meaning to have a honest living is within the Torah hashkafa, within the Torah halacha. Okay, beautiful. But those two Rambams are in Hilchos Talmud Torah, where he's focusing on the balance between Talmud Torah on one hand and making a living on the other hand. But when the Rambam speaks more along the lines of financial law, choshen mishpat, he's speaking as follows. Says the Rambam, Hilchos Zechiyah Umatana, Yud Beis Yud Zayin, Had Sadikim Gemurim, V'Anshei Maisa, Lo Yikablu Matana Me'adam. Ooh. Says they would never receive a present. Who would never receive a present? The big Sadikim. So what does that imply? That this whole law to not receive gifts is reserved for the people who are what? Sadikim Gemurim. So, what if it's my birthday? Am I allowed to receive a present or no? Seemingly, yes. right. I mean, the Rambam seems to be saying that it's what we're going to call a midas chasidus. Why? You should have bitachon on Hashem. Bitachon on Hashem. What are you accepting gifts for? Okay. And the Maggid Mishnah has such a beautiful essay over here. He has a beautiful commentary. He says, you should just appreciate what Hashem gave you. What are you looking for handouts for? And he has this lengthy piece over here. And he says, essentially, you know, what we've been quoting already, but what do you want more gifts? You want kinna, taiva, kavod, it's going to ruin your whole life. He says, work hard, appreciate what Hashem gave you, and don't look for bonuses. Like, enough. You know, beautiful. It's stark Magen Mishnah, right? But it gets worse. Because, what? Who should for sure receive a gift? You would say it's halakhically inappropriate to decline a gift if what? If what? If you need it, right? Meaning it's no longer funny when we speak about Hilchos Matnos Aniyim. Ooh, Hilchos Tzedakah. Says the Rambam, if you don't really need tzedakah and you trick people into thinking that you need tzedakah, you're Arur HaGever Sheftach Ba'adam. Like, you're scum of the earth, basically, right? What if you need tzedakah and you what? You're too proud to accept tzedakah. How is a Shofech Damim? Compared to a murderer. Umischai benafsho. Wow. So says the Rambam, if you need the handout, if you need the money, you take the money. Well, there's no mitzvah to die. But there's a middle category. Misha tzarech lito, but you push yourself to make an honest living so that you don't need to stuck up. That's a special madrega. Meaning where you really push yourself to say, I don't want to come to that level where I need the gift. I want to work extra hard so that I really will be able to survive on my own. That's a special madrega. Baruch HaGever Shiftach B'Hashem. So the Rambam seems to have three distinct categories. But the way it's presented in Shulchan Aruch is Ein Hachanami. It's a Midas Chasidus. A Midas Chasidus is not to receive a Matana. Happy Tachon. What that means is that it's not Usher. So if Adam, you ever have patience to give you gifts? Yeah, you have very good gifts.
nothing
to write home about.
It's nice things, you know, a tie.
But no, they weren't nice. One time, I got a Hanukkah tie. I hated it. But, like, that was always the shtick. I was close enough with this Talmud that I said, like, I'm never wearing that tie. And it was, like, always our shtick that, like, I never wear his Hanukkah tie. And I would wear it every Purim when he came to give him Shalom Manos. So I'd always put on the tie for a picture. Shlomo Stabeski, you know, every year him and his mom would come. I'd put on a Chanukah tie, whatever my costume was that year. And then we'd take a picture with me wearing the Chanukah tie. One time, sometimes you have to pretend to like the gifts. There's an art there. There's an art there to pretend to like the gifts.
He mentioned his name.
Shlomo Shtabai. No, it's, we're that close. That he knows. He knows. This is public by now. That everyone knows. But I would never throw it out. Like I love. I hate it so much. I love it so much. You know. It's. I would never throw that tie out. So the Shulchan Aruch presents this as a Midas Chasidus, and the Sma says the following: that Bnei Adam have tendencies. What's human nature? You give someone a little bit of money. What are they going to do? They're going to want more of it, right? So the idea is hate gifts, because once you start liking gifts, you're going to end up what? Like Rabbeinu Yonah taught us earlier, it's a downward spiral. It's going to lead to bad things. So stop it, nip it in the bud. Don't like gifts. It's not a good thing. Okay, now here's where we're going to shift gears. The same author of the Sma is the author of the Drisha, right? What, Rabbi Falk or Valk, right? From Poland, and he has a beautiful commentary, the Drisha and the Prisha, and he says like this: look at Tanakh, Avram Avinu. Did he ever accept a gift? What happened when Avimelech wanted to offer him a gift, right? Very good. So he didn't want anyone to think that what? He kept certain spoils of war. At the same time, when Power and Avimelech offered him gifts, he accepted the gifts. Aha. So says the Drisha, you have to know how to properly receive gifts. Sometimes, so nematanos yechya, you live by hating gifts. But sometimes you have to live by accepting the gift. He understood, if I want Avimelech and Par to really believe that Sarah is my wife, my sister instead of my wife, I need to accept their gifts and play into their narrative. Okay, we'll give him gifts and we'll take his sister as a wife. Avram said, okay, great, I'll take the gifts. Because that was the way to carry on his little scheme, right? So this starts to get us to think about the bigger picture of this Drisha, whereby Avram Avinu said, I'm dealing with Rishayim, they're offering me a gift, and it's in my best interest to accept the gift, because they want to marry Sarah. And if I say no, things are going to be fishy, etc. So Avram Avinu, he saw the bigger picture. So this, believe it or not, is not only Drisha, it's a Drisha. It's a Drisha. A halachic source. Wow. Now, there's a sefer of the Chidah, his childish Jufa, is known as the Sha'ol, Chaim Sha'ol. And there the Shaila was, people, an individual was very, very poor. And the only way for him to have enough money to marry a certain woman was to sell a sefer Torah. You're not allowed to sell a sefer Torah. So he had two options. There was a rich guy who said, don't sell your sefer Torah, I'll pay for your wedding. So should you accept the gift in that situation? You have two options. Either sell the sefer Torah so you can pay for the wedding yourself, or B, take the gifts. Don't sell your sefer Torah, but it's a handout. So he asked the Chidah. So the Chidah said, of course in this situation you should accept the gift, because it's absolutely forbidden to sell a sefer Torah. So it's true that there's a concept on the books to not accept gift, but what? How do we paskin in the Shulchan Aruch? It was a what? It was a unique madrega reserved as what we'll call a midas chasidus. That's the lashon of the Torah in the Shulchan Aruch, and the Rambam seems to say like that, which means it's not really required. Bottom line, it's not really required, and therefore, the Chidah argued it's formally usher to sell a sefer Torah, and it's not really usher to accept a gift. In fact, by the Chidah's time, it was already rather common for people to accept gifts. So therefore, he said, no question. And he says, look at the Sma and the Drisha, whatever. It's an amazing idea that sometimes you can have a concept where there is a lot of benefit by accepting a gift. For example, what? Is he going to say that with the mitzvah of tzedakah? What, the Ani shouldn't accept the tzedakah? Hello, it's a mitzvah to give tzedakah. Well, the Ani should receive the tzedakah. It's always case by case, and sometimes you need to accept the gift. Wow, beautiful. So, in this, but what I love about the Chidah is that it's a real halachic shaila about Sodom and Matanas Yechia. There's another similar shaila in the Shevet Alevi, much more contemporary, And there's a shaila about a basic kind of handout situation we'd have in this generation. So Rav Vosner is dealing with a shaila of the following. Parent wanted to give their newly married daughter like a monthly check, right? We've heard of this concept, right? You support your young married kids in the earlier stages of marriage. But the husband didn't want to accept it. He said, okay, you want to support your daughter, but I'm your son-in-law. I don't want any handouts. I want to make an honest living. So that's the shaila. Who's right? So Rav Vosner Paskins over here, he says, look, it's true all over Shas, we find this concept, that Sona Matanas Yechiya, it's not just the Pasuk in Mishlei. But you know what? There's also a concept called family. And you know what? The father wants to give his daughter a little bit of cash every month so that there's family relationship. It's part of family norm. So it's okay. He says, that's family. So he doesn't think it's a problem. He wrote...
But he's also insulting the son-in-law.
Oh, okay. He says, it's a good taina, but he says it's normal. It's too normal to fight. Wow. And he says, it's also good for Shalom Bayis. What's going to happen? It's good for your wife. He says, it's going to be good for your wife. He says, Lashpil Latova Alabat. It's good because your wife is going to feel connected to her father. Think big picture. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Fascinating idea. So there's an article in English Online from a rabbi in Aish who got to be Chanei Yisrael, Rabbi David Rosenfeld. And again, a contemporary. And he also, he speaks about the sugya from a very practical communal standpoint. He says, in a different vein, even if one does receive gifts from others for his support, if he shows proper appreciation, he is not simply becoming a taker who's living off others. He rather owns up to the fact that he owes in return, and he expresses it. This is giving back to the giver, right? The idea is, you know, when you receive a gift, so there's an art there where it's not called a present, it's called a relationship. It's called a relationship. Why am I getting a box of chocolates on Hanukkah? It's not a gift. What is it? What is it? It's a thank you. It's not a gift. And I think we in our own community need to ask ourselves the motives, because I think AB is right that sometimes gifts are quote unquote intentionally timed and there's an ulterior motive. And sometimes a gift is just merely an act of appreciation. And okay, sometimes also I'll tell you somewhat of a little bit of a subtle nuance. Certain people's love language is through money, through gifts. So I think some people will thank you via a text message. Thank you. It was really great. You know, and that's enough. Some people live life a little differently. And they have a way of saying thank you in a more quote-unquote loud way. A louder way. Remember, I once taught a kid who got me a very unique gift at the end of the year. You know, it was, you know, say like a more expensive item. You know, that family, that was their language. You know, for them, that was their box of chocolates. That was their way of saying thank you. Now, you know, it's interesting. So I think we have to view the sugya as ben adam lachavero and ben adam asma. Obviously, you shouldn't live life as looking to mooch. But there's also a concept of knowing how to be part of a community where we go on the offense to maybe invite people for meals, to text message people, how are you, been thinking about you, thinking of you. And, you know, there's also an art of receiving those text messages and recognizing that there's a give and to take. And, you know, sometimes you're doing people a lot of help by accepting their invitation, by taking the gift, because you're showing that person, I accept your gift, and therefore, by extension, I accept you as a member of our community. And during Sefirot HaOmer, Parshas Kedoshim is teaching us not to steal, and it makes sense that the opposite of stealing sometimes is to have a healthy relationship with the people of your community, where there's a normalcy of the giving and taking in a healthy way. All right, let's daven Marv. We should all be zochet to give and take. Al pi the halacha, al pi hashkafa.